Rightio, here in beautiful Nagambie. A little bit dark where we are, but I must say, underneath this tree, it's absolutely sensational. David Aiken joins me for Stable Chat. Aiken, thank you very much.
Yeah, good morning, Paul.
It's actually afternoon, mate. It's
Afternoon,
taken me that long to set up. Mate, these are brought to us kindly by Paul Kelly and Dylan Barry, and I have. What have I done here? Oh, there they are there. I've got to have all these things ready to go. If you want to get any of your accounting needs, go to their website, kellypartners.com.au, or you can give them a call on 9629 6744. And before we go too far, Aiky, they've actually got a thing for people with COVID crisis. Any of your businesses, try and jumpstart your business and get it back up and going. It's Fight Back and Grow. It's on Thursday, the 26th of November from 8 to 10. It's a free seminar. You register online. Again, go to the website and you'll be able to get all the information for that. There's three guest speakers: Paul Dobson. I can't think of the guy's name that actually pays all my bills. I'll be in trouble for that. David Kelly, I think it is. And there's another guest speaker. They will help and guide people back. So if you're having troubles with the COVID-19 epidemic, which a lot of people are, go on to either of those websites. And I thank them very much for being able to bring them these to me. I love coming here. You get a little bit nervous about it, but I actually love coming here and having a chat. And the amount of feedback I get off my social media feeds. Do you ever get blown away by the amount of people that like listening to you?
Oh, I do really, because I don't like listening to me. You know, it's just, no, it's all good.
It is all good. Mate, we're here, and I haven't got a lot of slides. Generally, with these ones, I do a lot of slides and the likes, but there's not a lot to show here. And it's one of the things I wanted to highlight. The barn is a beautiful old barn. It was built by Donny Dove back in the day, wasn't it? Is that right?
Graham Morgan.
Oh, Graham Morgan?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yep.
That's right, he was here beforehand, but it's very simple, but it works, doesn't it, the stable complex?
Yeah, no, it's good. You know, Graham set it out really good. It's a great barn. It's old, you know, it's showing a little bit of wear, but very good in summer, very cool, and it's a good barn to work in winter.
And it's very simple. I'll actually just whack it across again just so people can actually see it. Oh, hopefully I will. Yeah, there it goes. I'm good at these buttons. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
But just plain boxes, nothing fancy, no big walk-in, walk-out yards. And that seems to suit you and the way you train.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I came from like suburbia at Bankstown. We trained in out of stables and that. So I was comfortable with the barn that we've got. You know, our horses go out to lunchtime, then they come in and have some lunch. And so they do go out in the paddock in the mornings, but we bring them in. And, you know, as I said, it's a good, cool barn. It's got a great breezeway in it. It's very wide. You know, you could turn a car in it, and it just works good. And, you know, we're happy with what we've got here.
And the horses are very relaxed. I'm not sure I got audio. Because I can't hear it back on mine, but no one's actually saying anything different, and it's showing up with audio. So hopefully we're all good to go. If anyone's out there listening and watching that can give me a flick back one way or the other, that'd be handy. I'm hoping have got audio. But anyway, the other part, I'm actually giving myself 100,000 love arts. I'm trying to get out of that thing to see if there's any comments covered through, but no, people have retweeted it, so hopefully they're able to hear me. Then just paddocks and just plain comfortable paddocks. Just a lot of trees.
Yeah, a lot of trees. They're all got shelters in the paddocks, except for the ones that go out and come back in. But it's just you know, it's simple. It's just a horse farm that's you know, it just works well. You know, it's not flash, but it works well for us.
Do you have an ideal situation that you'd like, or is this actually what you'd like?
Oh no, you'd like if I had a couple of million, I'd have something that I, you know, probably you know, a little bit, you know, as you said, a few more walk-in, walk-outs, and all that sort of stuff. But it's you know, at the moment, you know, it suits us, and we're going to cut down our team a little bit so we don't sort of need to expand as you know any more than we have.
I found out where my audio's going, so it's okay. We're all good. So it's fine. I'm much happier. I'm thinking I've got no audio, so it's very, very nerving, but I'll be back on track. How long have you been here?
You've
been
here since 96. Yeah, so 23, 24 years. Yeah.
You do a great job. I think from as long as I can remember, you've always had a high quality horse. I reckon you go through stages where all of a sudden, you know, when Lenny left, people were saying, oh, Achy won't have anything. Because when you had Lenny, you had Spider Girl, you had all these trotters, you had an awesome, awesome team. And then you sort of lose Lenny, and then everyone says you won't have a nice horse. You keep finding nice horses over the journey. Do you ever actually pinch yourself at the quality of horses you've had?
I've been really lucky. You know, like we've had a lot of good owners, a lot of good people supply us with nice horses, and you know. But you're right. You know, you think sometimes with your team, and we lost a lot to America last year. You know, I think between November and December, we lost 9 of our Metro horses, and I thought, oh, we're going to have a slow year, and then we got a couple that were on the way to America, like Leonidas and Ideal Star, through COVID. So we had them, and then we got a few of the babies. We got Max Delight, who was a 3-year-old of the year last year, and Malcolm's Rhythm, just nice up and coming horses. You know, there's, you know, you can't replace a Lenny or a Hector, but these are still nice horses, and they're competitive in the good races.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your training methods and the likes going forward, because I think it's really unique. The one other thing I wanted to highlight was your trot and track. And anyone that's watched the stable chats over the journey, I've shown great images of the trotting tracks and the likes. The thing I like the most about your trotting track, the pictures people are seeing here, is actually it. It is just a flat track with a good surface, well watered, well sanded. But other than that, it's nothing flash, is it? Like, it hasn't got a 1,000 meter straight track or anything along those lines. It's just your regulation 1,000 meter track.
Yeah, it's 850 meters, and it's got good turns.
Yep.
You know, the horses get round pretty good. You know, I've got an aerial shot of it. You know, we've got one on inside of the farm, and Graham, when they put it in, it's a good design. Everything's symmetrical, and then they get round it pretty good. You know, but there again, you know, you said if anything you change, you know, I would love if I could put in a straight track somewhere, but I just haven't got the room for it actually.
Okay, so if right, we'll stick with that for the second, and then we'll go on to how you actually do it. But if you had $1 million, what would you do? Would you put two or three different tracks in, or just a straight track, or
just a straight track? I would say. Yeah.
Just like that idea.
Yeah, I do really like the idea, and especially for the trotters, I think that'd be good for them. And as I said, I've had a look 100 times to see if I can put one in, but I just probably haven't got the place is not set up to put one in.
Yeah, just to be able to get it in the right way.
Yeah.
Other than that, so your wish list, would there be anything else you'd like to have here at this place before we get talking?
Oh, no, just probably a few more walk-in and walk-outs, just to get them in sometimes in bad weather.
But not a big swimming hole, or not a couple of treadmills?
I've got a swimming hole.
You have?
Yeah, it's 70 metres.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we've got a swimming hole. So
you should have sent me over there. I could have had a photo, and then I could have been showing it.
Yeah,
but,
we've got a swimming hole, yeah.
Yeah.
So don't do a lot of swimming, but we do swim them.
Treadmills interest you, or?
I had a little experience with them in at Menangle, and I really liked them. It's one of those things where you'd have to, you'd have to sort of reinvent what you do, and yep. I think the thoroughbreds do it. You know, they do a lot of work, good work on the treadmill, and as I said, there's one at the Menangle at the Water Walker, and a lot of the boys there were, and I've used it a few times there, and I thought it was really good. I had Mary's Favourite Son, who was really a difficult horse to control, and he did a lot of his pre-training. Because I didn't want to go too hard with him on the treadmill. He trotted really good, and he enjoyed it. And then he went back to track. He was actually settled because he was ready to do the work that I want him to do. But I didn't want him to go too hard when he first started his prep. And we did that pre-training on it, and it was great.
Yep, and he was able to then...
Well, he relaxed on it. He liked it. He wasn't, a couple of times there when I first got him, I couldn't even get him back to the training centre because he'd be half choking down and being silly and all that sort of stuff. And at the end, he was really good.
How do you train? You don't have to tell the ins and outs. I mean, I know you do two trips because I was here for a little while this morning. But I suppose initially, what do you train? Like, do you train over a trip at all?
It's very basic. The way we train, and I've been doing it. I haven't trained my for a long time. You know, I'd spent a little bit of time in America. I had a really good education there. I worked for Brian Pelling over there, and I came back in 81. And
is that Brett's dad?
Brett's dad, and I become good friends with Brett. And, you know, all the way through his massive success, we always kept in touch. And but it's basically what I've been doing all along, you know. You know, a couple of heats, we go every third day, and don't do a lot. You know, not all that hard, and but we do a lot of groundwork before they, you know, they do a lot of miles before they, you know, like our babies now. They were a couple of heats this morning, but you know, they're only still going very slow, but they'll do that for a fair while.
And then one day they'll just show you they're ready.
Yeah, you know, they before we would take them up to Shep, they wouldn't run a, you know, 400 and about 32, and then we start taking them up before the trials and start. Training them up there, and that's when they really sort of come on.
Yep.
On the you know on the bigger track and learn to get a bit of speed. So and then we take them up there probably three or four times, then qualify them.
Yep.
And they're ready to go, but they've had a lot of groundwork.
Do you do like mile and a half heats?
Or mile and a half heats. Yeah.
I noticed with the 2-year-olds, there's a lot of change leads. Do you change leads when you're doing your better horses?
Or no, not at all. No. But the babies, we do that. We do that for a fair while until they're sort of nearly ready to qualify and they're you know they've learnt to trail and you know but I just like that way of doing things.
Do you change up some of these horses like you're saying about Mari's favourite son there and obviously you're open to putting them on treadmills and the likes? Do you change up some of your better horses if it's not working, or do you just stick to your plan and just either get them fitter or slow them down a bit?
Yeah, you know just. You know, it's all they're all different. Sometimes they need, you know, I trained the three boys at they Quinella the Derby in Sydney, probably the quickest I ever worked horses like 10 days before, which I didn't mean to go that quick, but they did it within themselves. They come back, their heart rate was like 75. I knew that they were good and I didn't knock them around. And I just had to sharpen them up for that race, and you know I just went a mile with them. And you know it was they Quinella the Derby, so it didn't hurt them, you know.
So you worked them 10 days out, they worked possibly too good,
yeah.
And all the rest, obviously they pulled up okay, and then you said you just gave them a mile work, so what's that consist of, like 2 days out, 3 days out, or did you give them a few extra days in between to catch up?
I tell you, we worked I wanted to go a mile and 57, we put the race bikes on them. And they went a tick better than 55.
For a flat mile?
Yeah.
Around here?
Yeah. And, but when I thought, I wanted to go about a minute and probably 57. And then I kissed Max Delight up at the half and he strode up the back in 27. Like, I'm swinging off him and then they just got home in 27. So, and I pulled up and Kima and I said, you know, I was, and Malcolm's rhythm was like they worked great, you know. And then I thought, oh geez, I hope I haven't cooked these. But we got home, came back, we worn them down. We take their legs out, we chop them for a lap and a half, and brought them back, and they were in the low 70s, yeah, 74, 75 or something. So I thought, well, that's I was a bit relieved. But then we just went back to 2 days later, just a couple of slow heats.
And then that was it.
That was it. Yeah. Yep. And then they shipped up to then they went up to Sydney and both ran second in the heats and the Max Delight won it and the other horse. But you know, I have never worked a horse that quick before. You know, I've worked them nice miles, but not. Yeah, it's pretty good.
For starters, it's probably one thing for a lot of young people out there to be, I suppose, happy about in a way, because obviously you didn't mean to do it. Like I think we all, when we're young, we probably try to find out how quick they are at the wrong times,
yeah.
And the like. So it probably, you know, you're only just over 50 and you can still do it. I'll be kind to you, don't worry.
You're the best.
one thing, because you train differently, and it's a conversation I had with Grant years ago. Hector won, he won the Swan Hill Cup, but he actually won a race. Did he win the Kilmore Cup the week before, or was there another race?
Maybe in the Melton Plate, maybe.
Maybe. And just Josh, when he was having his acceptance speech, he just said in it that he put in a huge run the week before. So we just walked him. and the likes. And it's just one of those things I've always wondered what you actually do. Because Grant said, he said, we can't just walk a horse. If we just walk a horse, the next day they'll tie up and the likes. But is there, like, there's obviously a method that you follow, but I would imagine that you might override that from time to time and just say, do nothing with this horse, or is that fair?
Yeah, especially on, you know, the times these horses race, and especially our babies, it's pretty tough. I actually want our horses to last. And that's what the benefit I think I've got out of just working the double headers and not going too hard, letting them stride home on the, they all travel pretty good home together. I hate horses getting tired, halfway up the straight. And, sometimes, I don't know, in Perth they work them hard, and a few of the guys asked me there, when I had Lenny, how do I work my horses? And Peter and I said, I can't believe that you can win a race working them that way. But, it works for me, and obviously it doesn't work for others. And, and it's all relative. I've had feed people come here and tell me what I should be doing. And, obviously they're selling products and things like that. But when Vinnie Knight used to come to Bankstown, you'd help him feed up and you couldn't lift his buckets, but he'd work them hard. Those people never asked, how do you work your horses? And it's all, as I said, Grant probably feeds different to us.
Yep.
It's something I've done, and if, I've had a little bit of luck doing it, so that's what we do. And, I can't really tell you why it works. It doesn't work on, I said to someone the other day, a famous that Dean Wayne Lucas, the galloping trainer in America, he said, I don't know how I can be counted as success when I've had so many failures. And that's the same as everyone that's trained horses. Everyone talks about successes, but we've had a lot of failures too.
Yeah.
And then you see horses go from one place to another and go better, and it's just the way the animal is, I think,
I did a stable chat with Grant Williams just recently, and a couple of conversations with him, and Grant, he's a trotting bloke for a start, but he's big on training from an eye. He likes to get his horses into a set amount of condition, but then after that he'll train to an eye. Do you do that, or do you train to a book or a heart rate, or
no it's very much to an eye. I think you just got to keep looking at your horses, how they recover, don't have a set pattern as far as, we'll change it around as far as time wise, but basically our and if they've had a hard run, if they're not racing that week, we'll miss a training session midweek and start training them back on the Friday, or the Saturday after a hard day, like things like that, if they're not racing that week.
Is that an American thing you've learnt, or is that it's just something you've learnt over
just
the journey?
Just something that they, they just freshens them up a little bit, and then, you're still jogging them and doing a little bit in between, but just not doing those trips.
You said there before about Menangle. Here, it's just sensationally relaxed. I mean, especially here under this tree. I don't know why you haven't got a picnic table under here, and you're just, you and Colleen lay down on there, have a picnic. You did say you're out here to hide, so I sort of understand that. You were at Menangle there as well at Sydney. Do you have a preferred preference? Like for an industry trying to go forward, I think probably training establishments are good to get young people involved. Do you have a preference?
The reality is having your own property, the upkeep's, it's pretty high. And, for young people starting out, it's got to be a must to have training centres. You'd have to rely on, you're here and the maintenance guy's here doing the
tractor.
Doing the service on the tractor, and you got your water truck, and
so it was $200 just drove in and out when he drove the car.
And that's what I liked about Menangle, that we didn't have to worry about things like that. Something needed fixed, there was guys on course that did that for you, and it's a lot of work. A lot of people will people will be watching this, it's on farms, they realise, they know what's how hard it is, but it's relaxed and it's your own place, and it's still good. But I think for younger people, real estate's getting dear everywhere, and I think for young people it's just a must.
Yeah. You have a stable. You have another unique trait, and I don't know where you've picked this one up from, but and I'm sure you probably don't even know, but got to be careful how you say these things these days. But grooming young guys coming through the industry, you know, we look at Dave Moran right at the minute. We like Invar Art, and people can say, well, but people like Jimmy Brown, who was driving at Albury on Saturday night, like and the likes. You got young Cody here at the minute. You've always had someone that you've been able to, I suppose, grow within the industry and produce, like Kima as well, even Mariko, who's just gone. Their names that just ring, you know, they come as strappers or they come as people who want to work. Is there something that you think works for that, or is it just sheer ass?
Oh, no, like all the way through, you know, we're Ricky Thurlow.
Yeah,
he's another one. He came.
He's sitting up in Queensland, yeah, watching.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of kids that came like early in their life. You know, we're not foster family, but we've taken a few kids in actually,
yeah,
over the years. You know, probably three or four in Sydney, and Ricky. I think Ricky came to us when he was 14. You know, Dave Moran was about the same age, and all that sort of stuff. No, it's just. I think, just you know, they were good. They were good horsemen to start off. You know,
but
like
Sol didn't have a horse background, did he?
No, he didn't. But he was obsessed with them from you know, like my oldest one still likes the horses. Yeah, David. He's the same age as David Moran, but he Sol always had the passion. And was obsessed with them, and you know, he took horses under his wing. Like he had Easy Dash here, was a really nice horse before he went to America,
yeah.
And that was, you know, like he just spent, yeah, you know, spent a lot of time on him, and you know, he's got a real love for the horse, and you know, probably not great at school, but they, as Cody said, he left school last year, and I said, oh, do you miss going to school? He said, I'm at school. Where, you know, and I thought, what a great attitude that is, because he's, you know, and he's a really good kid. And but they're, every one of those kids had a passion, which was good. And I think just working in Sydney, we're lucky. We had a good group of people helping us, and they always, those when they were young, they sort of, you know, they were put in their place a couple of times by the older brigade, and they were good. They ended up really good.
Stable Chats brought to you by Kelly Partners, and it's Brett Kelly is a man's name. I actually just remembered it. So Dave Moran, you say how he had a passion for horses and all the rest, but from the way you just explained it then, basically because he was mates with your older son, is how he sort of came about. Mate, you got to take a huge pride in the fact that, you know, he just trained the Victoria Cup winner, because, you know, effectively he's someone that harness racing would have lost if that makes sense. Like, he wouldn't have been even in the sport. Do you ever actually pinch yourself about that?
Oh, no, I tell him all the time, you know.
Do you tell yourself that?
That we're proud. Well, I just like having the young people around me, and it's just you know, and when they do something like David's done, which is, you know, and you've been to his place, he's immaculate, and his horse is immaculate. And
I get scared getting out of the car.
Yeah, he sweeps the dirt, Dave. But he, but you know, it's just you know, and all of them, like Ricky, and you know, and Ricky's son comes. He had nothing to do with the horses. In Queensland, he's come down and for school holidays, not through COVID, but he's come down and he was jogging horses and all that, and really enjoys it. And you sort of, they just, you know, they're sort of like my kids, and I just really like having them around.
Young Ryan Sanderson, he'll be watching this because he watches everything I do, because I think he's a bit bored at the minute.
Yeah.
But he was here working for you, and then he had that horrible fall. So does that affect you and Colleen? I got no doubt you wouldn't have been at Charlton. So how does that affect you guys?
No, it was terrible. You know, we know how bad they can be, and I know he was, you know, he wasn't good for a week or two, but it could have been a lot worse. You know, I thought the way he got hit, he got out of it pretty good, and he's back tomorrow, but I think he's going to be here for 2 weeks. He's given notice, and he's going to go back and help his dad in Sydney, but you know, I think he's getting a bit homesick, and but a really good kid, and you know, and he's got some ability with driving, so you know, he's got a really bright future and it presents himself very good. A lot of the trainers in Shepparton that he drives for trials or whatever always comment how well mannered he is, and so he's got the right attributes.
Definitely has, because if he gave you 2 weeks' notice, effectively he hasn't been here, but he's going to come back and still do his 2 weeks, which I think is terrific. For
yeah, that's it, that's what kind of kid he is.
Yeah, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Kima, you'd have to have been amazed at what she was able to achieve. You know, basically she came here as, you know, everyone says she came here as a Monty rider, but I think effectively she was on a backpacker's holiday, wasn't she? And sort of came here to just see how far she could go and where it all started.
Yeah, no, she came to work for Chris Lang Jr. And she's there for a couple of months, and then that didn't work out. So then, you know, she came here and wanted to know if she could come here, and that was really good. But she, you know, she did the ponies, drove them. And rode them and did a little bit of driving but not race driving, and then Josh encouraged her to have a go, like, but always showed on the track here like she's, you know, she's very good with the horses and that, and you know, to her own admission, when she first started she was a little bit average, but yeah, just improved way out of sight, and got a great ability for horses. Yeah, horses that really run for her. You know, it's a shame that she's. I hope she's only having a break and gets back to it.
Yeah.
You know, which I think she will.
But even on the training rank, she's just going enormous anyway.
Yeah, well, she's a good horse. You know, like her. You know, when we had Hector JJ, she'd drive me crazy. You know, have a look at this, have a look at that, and after time, I said, "Well, I'm looking at," and the vets would say the same. But she just, there's a pimple on it. She'd worry about them, and that's what she does. And that's, she's going to make a great trainer.
Yeah. I had a little horse. She drove for me at Maribor. I keep reminding her it was a very average little horse, and she drove and said, "Oh, what a lovely horse! I need a horse like this to learn the drive." And within 12 months, she's winning Group One races. I mean, the worst thing she could have done was take that horse home, because it you know, would have held her back. She just excelled so quickly in that 12 months.
Yeah, well, when she first started, she said to me a couple of times, "I think I'm." She didn't have the confidence.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm going to. You know, and she listened. And the worst, one of the hardest things for the young kids at the moment is when they have a bad night is the social media.
Yeah.
And they were smashing her on Twitter and all that sort of stuff. And she was getting down. And Josh encouraged her to keep going. And you know, and then she started winning races. And then she just went from, like, you know, last 2 years she's driven well over 100 winners and a lot of money. And as I said, the horses just run for her.
Yeah. Josh, you mentioned Joshy, and you sort of half alluded to that there might be a little bit of a changing of the guard happening here, but as far as you are proud of all these other guys, and I'm sure you're proud of your other two children as well, I'll get into trouble if I don't mention them, but you must be rapt that Josh is back and going the way that he is. Like, I mean, he's had a bit of a sabbatical and all the rest, but to come back and... From the person I knew, and I used him driving when he was a junior, to where he is now, he's a totally different person, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He's
not that he was a bad person beforehand either, but he just seems a lot more switched on. Or
yeah, you know, it's good to get away, you know, and the same as Kima having her break now from driving, and I just hope she gets back. You know, you drive a lot of pressure. You know, Josh, I think drove, I don't know how many Group Ones in his first season, maybe four, maybe. And then it sort of, you know, he finished his junior driving and he just needed a break, and he always loved the horses. And yeah, so he's back and he's fresh, and got a lot of opportunities through COVID, which I thought, you know, and so he's keen again, he's driving really good, and you know, he's a big part of this farm.
He's always driven good. We used him on Dual Agent Tabman, and the two used to like each other because he used to like letting horses roll. He'd lean back and let horses roll. Did you help model him the way he is, or is he his own man? Because I know back when you started, you never leant. You had to sit forward and the like. You do lean a little bit now, but did you try and guide him into the right way of sitting, or the new age way of sitting, or has he done it himself?
No, he did that. He developed that himself. He used to get into trouble from my oldest son. No one realised how much he actually loves the racing and watching the racing, and likes and drives really good actually. When he trains one, they just fly. And he's big at, the oldest one's big at leaning back and get it, grabbing them up before he pulls them up, pull them out, and they go to the line. They charge the line on the bit. And he always used to say to Josh when he first started, he said, "Josh, no floppy reins. I don't want to see floppy reins." And that's sort of, you know, like he, and if he did, David would, you know, I wouldn't have to say anything because the oldest one would just give it to him. So,
what does David do now?
Well, I wouldn't believe it. He's never touched a sheep in his life. He was locked in Melbourne over COVID, and now he's shearing. He's the most unique human being in the world. So next week you'll know what he's level doing. Yeah, so he's a great kid.
Looks like a surfer to me.
He does surf. He surfs. He surfed the world. You know, he's lived in a treehouse in Thailand for 3 months, and he's done some unique things. He's travelled the world.
Yep.
What he does, he works hard and he saves money, then he travels. So, and then getting locked up in Melbourne when the lockdown wasn't good.
He decided to become a shearer.
So he started roustabouting, then he was pressing, and now he's doing a bit of shearing. It's only through COVID.
Your daughter lives still in Sydney?
No, she's in Shepparton.
Shepparton as well.
And
they're only the three kids?
Yeah, the three, yeah.
And Colleen, and you've been here for a long time. And I reckon, like a lot of people, probably don't realise how many people you've had come through and your guide. We spoke just prior to doing this about it and communications and lack thereof, and we'll go into it a little bit more. But obviously around here, your communications must get through pretty well. When you start talking about people like Josh, who, what you say, drove in four Group 1s in his first season, Keema, Ricky Furlow. Like Ricky, he won Group 1s as a young age. He was a gun. Like, I mean, he's not in the game much at all now, but he was an absolute gun. Was there someone that you modelled yourself on your communications, or do you think that's just something that you've developed as you've gone along?
I get pretty close to them. Yeah. You know, when people work for me, and you know, actually when people leave, I get a bit down for a while. You know, I miss people, and but yeah, I think it's just I don't know. It's just, I think, you know, that opportunity to drive some nice horses, and sometimes you don't have to say a lot. You know, they were good people, you know, and they were smart, and they, you know, they worked things out, and you know, I don't know if what I said to them, but you know, it's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so you just do it, and it's just funny. But I just think, you know, one thing about our industry that is a worry, and it's a worry to me, and going along, is trying to keep these young people involved. But you come here, and like, you're in the middle of nowhere. It's not like you're, you know, they can go to the pub next door. I mean, there is one, 10K down the road, but yeah. I mean, it's a fair way. I think if you actually, what you and Colleen should do sometimes is probably just sit back and say, shit, we actually do okay. You know, like I said, you've got Dave Moran, you've got Keema Frenning and Dave Moran. Keema's knocking up training winners. Mm. You know, she's taking a sabbatical from driving. You've got Dave Moran's just won the Victoria Cup just up the road, just to name two, you know, let alone your son that's here and potentially going to take over very shortly, or you're going to take a step back a little bit as it goes.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just, as you said before, you're proud of them. I'm very proud of all those. You know, everyone that's sort of, you know, because you've had a little bit of part of their life.
There'll be a lot of people watching this. We're a bit dark, but that's okay. There'll be a lot of people watching this, and they'll be saying, how did I get in touch with you to get here? What communication skills? And communication is one of the, I suppose, one of your downsides in the stable, but it's not intentional. It's just a little bit of your makeup.
Yeah, you know, I've had a problem with that for all my life. You know, at the moment, I wouldn't know where my phone is.
Yeah,
but
Colleen's been walking around, you know, with your iPad for half an hour.
Yeah, you know, we're very hands-on here. You know, we still do the shoeing and things like that. And I just, a lot of times, I just really can't stop and talk. You know, and then I get the intentions of going and talk. You know, go and make a call, and you know, I don't know. It's just something in my makeup that's not really good, and that's one thing Josh is really good at.
Yeah,
the communication. And. And that's why, you know, we're thinking about, you know, he's going to play a bigger role.
Yeah. Well, he already is, because, I mean, it's so simple for me. I've rang a couple of times to do some things, and he's like, yep, no worries, I'll get it done. Doesn't even tell you, or, you know, the last time he just said, yeah, Paul's going to be here.
Well, he told me 10 o'clock this morning.
That I was coming to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
I rocked up at 10:30. He's a good man. didn't give you a chance. But it is something that young people have to be aware of. It's easy to turn around and say, or listen to people and they say, oh, David Aiken doesn't return calls, and yet you're training horses for Edwards from Ballarat. You've got Lauriston bloodstock horses. You keep getting nice horses, but it's not something you're necessarily proud of.
No, I'm ashamed of it, actually. You know, it's one I don't like it, but it's just, I don't know, it's just something, it's a little problem I got, which I'd love that not have it.
Yeah. I will let you go, because people have been sitting here watching us. America, you love American racing and the likes, and we can talk on those couple of horses going forward. You've been there a couple of times. If you take a backward step, is there that itch that you might end up back in America or go to America for an extended period of time?
Yeah, well, it's in the back of my mind. Yeah. You know, I've probably not taking a horse or whatever, but probably just spend a little bit more time. You know, as I said, our good friends are Brett Pelling, Nifty Norman, Noel Daly, all those guys, and you know, then I wouldn't have to rely on talking to people. You know, I'd be quite happy to go work for someone. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, but you know, it's just what I like doing, and I always liked that environment. You know, I've had three working stints over there in my younger days, and I do get homesick. That's the problem. That's one of the reasons I did come home. But when I was working for Brian said, "Oh, you got to stay here for another 12 months." But I just sort of, and then when I come home, I think, "What I come back for?" Sort of thing. But I do enjoy the racing, and especially, I enjoy watching all the expats. You know, Sunday mornings, that's my watching Todd McCarthy and Andy and Dexter. And all the trainers there, you know, that's nearly a hobby of mine, watching those guys really, because I've known them for so long, very proud of what they've done. You know, they're just amazing at the moment in America.
Absolutely,
they're going.
A couple of horses that you had over there, and you posted one on Facebook the other day, Leonidas, and all the rest. Yeah, I can't think of the other horse you had. He was by. He was better as a light, I think, as well. Leonidas and the other bloke that you had just recently through COVID, and they look like being
Ideal Star.
Ideal Star.
Yeah.
American Ideal Horse. Yeah. Potentially Victoria Cup horses, both of those, on ability, speed, and the rest, maybe not be able to beat Lochinvar Art, but through the Shepherd and racing, they weren't far behind him either, and you saw what Lochinvar Art did to the rest of that field, so they're definitely up there. Those horses leave you, and they go to America and win. Do you get proud and sad, if that makes silly sense?
Well, I was proud. Josh was sad. Leo, the guy who owns Leonidas, Steve Finkelstein, has been a friend of mine. He sent UltraJet over to me. Horse, we ran second in the 94 winter.
Yep.
American horse. I had a lot of fun with him. His daughter came and stayed with us for, 6 months. When we were at Bankstown, been very close to the family ever since, and for him, he thinks it's the best horse he's had in 30 years, Leonidas.
Wow.
And he's just to see him to get that, you know, the thrill the other day to beat Better's Wish, who, you know, he was three all of the year last year, and, you know, it was a $100,000 race, and I was just wrapped in the horse, because we always liked him. Blake Fitz had him before us, did a great job with him. And we were lucky enough to buy him for Stevie. And then, as I said to Colin the other day, we were lucky to have him. We had him, if it wasn't for COVID, he would have gone straight to America. So we had
him for
that little bit of time. But I always said I would have loved to see him on the back of, I don't think he would have beat Lochinvar Art. I just would like to see how he would have been if he got the trip behind him, how close he could have stayed with him. Because he's one of those horses, he likes a good trip. And he's a good finisher, and just it was a cracking horse to have around the place. So I gave Stevie a few scenarios. Like I said, you could either go on the 7th of July, or he can stay 3 months or 6 months. And they opted with the 7th of July. And I think he's a big cup horse, and but that's one that we couldn't keep. But I tried hard.
He's a unique horse. Bendigo, when he set the track record there, he actually broke our horse's track record. Can't believe he did that. But it was the fastest first quarter recorded. Watching that race in America, fastest first quarter ever recorded in that race, and he'd gone back to last. He just loves that high speed early. He just brings him into his own. I think it was 25-1 or something that quarter the other day, or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was crazy. They went 52 to the half, but Austin Sugelman, what a great drive. You know, a young kid.
He's an Australian. He doesn't understand. You're not meant to go the inside.
Exactly. He went up the inside and then got on the back of Better's Wish, and it was you couldn't have worked that for a better trip. It was great.
You just must love that high cruising speed. Yeah,
and he was sitting on that speed easy.
No, he's an incredible horse. Yeah. Aiki, thank you very much. I will actually just throw up the Kelly Partners banner. Again, Be Better Off. Paul Dobson and Dylan Barry on 96296744. But also, don't forget to get involved with this, the fight back for COVID-19, which has been rocked a lot of people, changed a lot of people's lives, even sent Dave's son, David, to become a shearer, which is scary. If anyone saw how much hair he had, that's even scarier as it is as well. Well, I'm jealous, but that's all right. So, mate, thank you very much. I've absolutely enjoyed this. Hopefully people have at home. You might think you don't like the sound of your own voice, but I think you speak for a lot of words of wisdom, and I really appreciate the time you've given me, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Thanks, mate.
I got to get back onto this, Aikes. We're still going live, mate, just at the minute. Actually, we'll do this. It'll be fine.